Now, broadcasting live from the Podcast Palace on Park Street in beautiful and dangerous Clearwater, Florida, it's the Comedians on Cork podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Tony God and Pat Largo.
Hey guys, welcome to the first ever Comedians Uncorked podcast. Rule number one, make sure the phone is down and don't get any fan calls going on here. We got a lot going on, man. My name is Pat Largo. This is Tony God right
Tony
here.
Tony God.
And again, it's our first one and hopefully of many of a really great podcast here out of Clearwater, Florida. But don't get scared. We're not talking about just stuff going on in Florida or the Tampa Bay area. We're fans of comedy. We do comedy, and we love comedy. So we're going to be talking about stuff all over the country, even perhaps the world.
The world.
Yeah. So that's the beauty of it. Who would have thought, man, years ago?
It's a big place.
It's a huge place.
Keep talking. I'm going to adjust the camera a little bit.
Who would have thought, though, years ago, you can just get some equipment, right, off of some websites, and just be anywhere you want to be at any given time, and put something on this thing called the World Wide Web. And that's what's so cool about this. So many podcasts out there, and there's so many ones that I have favorites of. And this is going to be hopefully slightly different. This is going to be totally...
I had to make sure I was on camera.
Are you on camera, babe?
I'm on camera now.
Look, I know. You only had me on before.
Okay. I mean, you're good to look at, but...
This isn't the Pat Largo show.
I got to get some camera time.
Yes,
man.
Yes. Oh, and speaking of...
Unless you're listening, then this doesn't even matter.
Doesn't pertain
doesn't
to you.
Doesn't even matter.
And a huge thanks to our sponsor for the Comedians Uncorked podcast, Julie Drolshagen of Century 21. And you can reach her at 727-902-9233. She helped us out with this, and if you need anything real estate wise,
awesome.
Really cool person.
Well, she's got a background in publicity from years ago, so we're gonna from LA, so we're gonna drag her in and have her share some stories.
And she said something very, Julie, we love you. She said something very entertaining about that. For years she was a publicist. In Hollywood, like you said, Hollywood and L.A. doing movies for years, and she would take the stars and the people to radio stations to promote the movies, right?
Yeah.
And she said, even though the acting is cool and the actors are great and I loved it, she goes, I loved comedians the most because she said that she saw that was the hardest thing being in L.A. and Hollywood and seeing the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory. She goes... Yeah. It's just you and a microphone up there. And she goes, I found it to be the most difficult thing to do and so lonely. And I said, damn, you're depressing me, for Christ's sake.
And we're lovable. Comics are lovable because we drink a lot, stuff like that.
It's amazing. That's to be around people like that that make me laugh all the time.
Yeah.
And I love that. So that's really cool. Now, on tap tonight, we have a lot of stuff that we're going to get to you, some different things that we're going to be talking about here. I know you brought a list in and something pertaining to Dave Chappelle, which, of course, that's a hot topic. Just saying Dave Chappelle nowadays.
That's a
hot topic.
So, some of the news stories. Obviously, we're gonna kick it off with a Chappelle story.
So we got that.
It's relevant.
A little bit later, we're going to do one of my favorite segments called Where They At, where we're going to tell what's going on with comedians in and around the Tampa Bay area, like for tomorrow and the weekend, but not just around the Tampa Bay area, around right now the southeastern part of the country. And we got some great ones coming to town there.
Yes.
And then a few people who said they were going to subscribe, thank goodness, to the Comedians Uncorked podcast asked a very simple question. They said, "How'd you get started with Comedians Uncorked?"
Did you lie to them?
No, I know because I had nothing. I had nothing seedy about it. Otherwise, I would totally lie to them.
You should have done it anyway.
I should. I mean,
that's the move.
I should have embellished.
Just to practice. I know, practice your lying.
Right. And people were wondering, and I said, well, you know, I have a radio background. I was a radio personality in the Tampa Bay area and Orlando area for years here. And Tony, you are, of course,
I
a stand-up
have a,
comic.
A comedian background, a background in stand-up comedy, and that's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was as a comedian, I was the regular host at my home club, which is Tampa Improv.
Mm-hmm.
I was the house MC there. And one of the duties was to take the headliners to do media, to do radio, television. You know, they go in the morning, you hear them on your drive to work and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's where we met. And this was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's like a long time.
I'll tell you, I'll give some love and a shout out. When I was working at 97X, WSUN, in the Tampa Bay market, I was doing middays, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. I would love it when the morning show, okay, when Fisher and Napoleon, or then Fisher and Boy, would go on vacation for a week, I would do mornings. So I look forward to Fridays because I know Tony was going to bring in whoever was touring at the Improv. I got a chance to meet and hang out with, and I love them all, David Tell, yes. Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
The late, great Robert Schimmel, which I have a story.
The
late, great Schimmel.
Awesome.
I have a story about him that made me cry one time on a Zoom meeting because they asked me about this. And the emotion came out of somewhere. I never expected it to happen. Bob Saget.
Bob Saget, yeah.
And is one of my...
I got a story about
Saget. Oh, God, we all do. But I want to hear yours. And Bill Burr.
Bill Burr, yes.
Now
I've worked with all of them.
Yes, you have. Now, my backstory real quick about Bill Burr was, at another club in Tampa called Side Splitters, I'm going back to 2004, they would call you and get, when I had a landline, and go, hey, Pat Largo, we have a six-pack of tickets coming free to a show.
Mm.
And I called and I said, who's the comedian? They go, oh, funny, you're going to like him. Bill Burr. I said, I never heard of him. So I went, and he was funny. And he was selling CDs by hand, himself, in the lobby afterwards. And I still have the CD.
His own printed out. That was the way.
Yeah.
That was the way.
Dude, I bought from Bill Burr, right? So then fast forward a couple of years, I'm at 98 Rock in Tampa. This is my last radio gig. And he comes in, because he's at the Improv. And I mentioned to him a couple of years earlier, I bought a CD from you. But I noticed this. In my briefcase I had for all my morning show papers and different stuff, I had a copy of, I think it was Blender Magazine, with Dave Chappelle on the cover, and he has a lighter, and he's lighting up a $100 bill, because this is back when he was leaving the Chappelle show.
Yeah.
And I knew Bill saw it, because he looked down, and he kind of looked at me a little bit, and I was like, damn it, I should have shut the frickin', briefcase. So we're talking about stuff, and I go, by the way, do you care about talk about Chappelle? And he just goes, no, I don't think so. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll just move on. We'll just move on. Because he was so pissed because he was on the show a few times.
Yeah, I remember he was on his show.
And there were some funny segments they did together. And he was probably pissed off because he's like, damn, man, this was going to be a gravy train for me.
Thinking about losing a gig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, on the best show in the country at that time.
Yeah.
So, but Burr was, man, it was just so great, man, that to see that. So I would come in, I would do mornings, and then Tony would bring the comics in, and that's how we met.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward now all these years later, 2018, I was out of a job, I got into a car wreck, and I hurt my neck more, and I couldn't do what I was doing at a hotel, and I had to quit. And I'm out of work, and unemployment's running out, and I go, well, I think about the old Steve Harvey quote, you got to jump, and Jesse goes, it's going to hurt on the way down, but you'll eventually fly. And I go, I got to think of something. So I went to a local place where I live in Pasco County, Florida, and I went to a place just to apply for a job, but we were talking about entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And this place is called Gill Dog in Port Richey. And Eric Soyn, and the owner, goes, I said, hey, do you ever do comedy here? He goes, no. Why? Do you do comedy? I go, I do. He goes, you have a name for the show? I said, I don't. He goes, you have any equipment? I said, I do not. I said, but I have great comedians I know.
I got ideas.
I got ideas.
Idea, man.
That's all I do. I just put pen to paper. Because I'm always nervous a little.
You mentioned that earlier.
That's
you
what I'm saying.
You with the pen and the paper.
Just write it down. So we got a show there, and then finally we came up with the name Comedians Uncorked. I think we were doing Uncorked, and I said, how about Comedians Uncorked? Because they're always just spouting off and just saying things.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that. Now we got a local gig that we got in the Tampa Bay area that I'm so happy to book different shows throughout the Tampa Bay area, and having like you on and Aneri Attorney and so many great local comics.
Yeah, we were
doing
the shows. Yeah, you were booking the one-nighters. You were setting up shows at different venues, and that was going really good.
Knock on wood, man.
And then 2020 happened.
The stock market crashed.
Yeah, the stock in the world crashed.
That was weird because my last show was March 6th. In Lakeland, Florida, driving home, and then after that, I didn't see the stage until like November.
You know, my last show was
was
the 13th. It was a Friday night.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's Friday the 13th. We do the show, and this is at the Tampa Improv, and it's a showcase format. So everybody's kind of like, you know, it was a weird vibe going because we didn't know what was going to be happening. But then as soon as the show ended, they were like, okay, we're shut down. So it's like, as soon as the show was over, we're shut down. And that was the last show until basically towards the end of the year when, you know, a couple things popped up. But it was real slow, you know, until now. It's just now starting to get back to some sort of normalcy as far as schedules, you know, like a lot of clubs still aren't doing full weeks.
Correct.
You know, so it's
correct.
It's, yeah.
But yeah.
From there, because of that, you started doing the Zoom interviews.
Yeah. Everyone, that's how you worked and did stuff, the Zoom stuff and some of the Skype stuff. I'm more of a Zoom guy, by the way. I could do Skype, but... And then someone else introduced me to another meeting. Hey, we have this link. I'm like, go fuck yourself. I'm not doing that link
enough.
Either. That's enough with the links. I Zoom and I Skype and I put pen to paper. What else do you want from me?
That's three things.
Jesus Christ. I'm 51 years old. Lay off. So anyway, I got a problem. As you can see, I got the anger has to come out. Got to get the poison out. No, but you're right, though. I was doing the Zoom stuff and meetings and all this kind of stuff. And short story is, I said, one day I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my logo in the Zoom thing and put it on behind me like a background. And I'm going to say, let me record myself doing some local shows, like just reporting on comics. And it came out okay. And I said, you know what? Yeah. Why don't I do this weekly? Just to have people around the Tampa Bay area, maybe Orlando sometimes and Sarasota, just say where the comics are. And I, then I also started doing some interviews called Comedians Uncorked Uncut, where I believe I did one with you and so many great comics, not just from Florida, but around the country.
Yeah, you had some great interviews with people. So it's like,
thank you.
It was really, I think that really kind of pushed this thing forward because it was like, you know what, why not? You know, it's like, it's not like you're coming from a place of not knowing, you know, it's like you're part of the community. And it's like now you're basically extending the conversation because we couldn't talk in person anymore.
Correct.
We couldn't perform. But this is a way to still get out and have conversations and be accessible to the audience, you know, and not forcing it, you know, not forcing like a show. I know they were doing Zoom shows. I didn't do any of those. I don't get it. I don't. It's not my thing, man.
Well, who would have thought if someone said in 2020 you're going to do virtual shows on Zoom, and then like Bert Kreischer and the guys are going out to drive-in movies, and they're having people pull up in their vehicles, and the laughter was them, I think, flashing
the lights,
the
and
lights.
Horns, hitting the horns. So.
Is that? I mean, to me, and I come from Florida in the Tampa Bay area where we have enough road rage. If you flash that at me, I'm just putting a bullet in you because I don't know what that meant.
I don't know what's going on.
But he goes, no, that's the laughter point. I mean, Kreitch is from Tampa. He knows the road rage. But I thought that was interesting too. But now, so what I'm saying is comics were doing anything they could think of. Now, of course, when you're big names like that, when you got Kreischer and Segura, guess what? You're going to have people going to the drive-through or the drive-in to see you.
Yeah, you've got an audience already.
Right.
So.
But, I mean, I do enjoy the ideas of going, okay, we can't go to an actual stage right now. Yeah. How do we do this safely? So I got to tell you, man, if you made some money doing Zoom shows or doing that drive-in shows, I mean, more power to you. It was really cool. More power to you, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So, but,
if
yeah,
you
man.
Do it, yeah.
But what else we got? We got so much other actual show-wise here. Do you want anyone to catch up on any more background? Because I love just telling people where we're coming from here.
Well,
because
I mean, that's basically how the show got started, you know, because I was kind of doing my thing with things on my own YouTube channel. You know, like I had my own thing with the road stories and, you know, I was interviewing comics on the DMZ, the Demotivational Zone.
That's
so.
Right.
So we both had similar ideas going, and I think that this just kind of put our heads together and like, you know, let's do this. So we just started to take small steps. You know, okay, well, let's see if we can put together something. Let's see if we can find a place to do it. So we got some of the equipment. You know, we're upgrading as we go, but from that, you know, we just started contacting. Friends in the industry that we work with, that we know, and having them be a part of it and sharing their comedy experiences. So, yeah, I think we're just trying to do it a little different as opposed to just everyday topical conversations. We want to talk about the industry itself. We want to talk about what's going on in the industry, the news, the stories, who's going on tour, who's working, what's coming out, and tips for people that are interested in doing comedy. You know, some of the listeners may be interested beyond just being a fan. You know, they may want to try it, and we're going to give you some inside tips and basically the rundown of how things work. And even if you don't want to try it, you kind of know how it all goes down, and you already appreciate it. If you're listening, you already appreciate it, but this kind of gives you a little bit more. So
no, you're right. This is probably going to be the most boringest stuff you've heard right now. Then we're going to kick it up because we want to just tell you where we're coming from. But we love comedy. We love comedians. We love comedy clubs. We love getting on stage and making people laugh. It's cathartic. And we're going to just talk about stuff that we love, and hopefully you dig it. And not to mention, when you guys leave comics or comments and subscribe to the channel and everything, and subscribe to the podcast, we'll be able to interact. And you could say, hey, man, you know what? I love that interview with so-and-so. Can you do more of that or more with that person? Or, hey, I have an idea about this. There's no hating when it comes to this. I like to be as humble as possible because I know I just, between radio and comedy, I got my ass kicked a lot about getting fired and having no money and shit like that. So, I mean, like, I love just talking about stuff, helping people out, and not being overly cruel for no reason. So.
Well, hey, man, that being said,
yeah,
let's talk about some news.
Okay.
All right, so I got a couple of stories for you, and I got a couple of things for you to participate in.
Okay.
So the first story is Dave Chappelle. Mm. You can't start a comedy podcast without mentioning Dave Chappelle at this point. It's the law now.
It's but, one of the greatest, and in hot water always now.
Well, here's the story. Dave Chappelle inducts Jay-Z into Rock Hall of Fame with unapologetic speech. Here, I'll read a part of this. This is off of Billboard. Dave Chappelle said, I would like to apologize to, I'm just fucking with you, said the comedian on stage, referencing the criticism he's gotten for jokes he made in his Netflix special released earlier this month about the transgender community. So this is his first time out since the special came out, which I think was good, a smart move, kind of just... Because that's what you do, is people get so heated about it, just let them cool down a little bit, because then they realize how ridiculous it is. It's like, so I'm just going to read a snippet of this for you. With a fire of anger still burning around his recent Netflix comedy special, Dave Chappelle stepped out Saturday night to induct Jay-Z into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The comedian who resides in rural Yellow Springs, Ohio, began his speech by saying, oh, I'd like to apologize. The controversy has led to a backlash against Netflix by its employees for supporting the comedian's viewpoint. Now, let me stop right there.
Okay.
That simple phrase right there says it all. Because all of this, to me, is just the latest version of censorship. The problem is, it's not coming from the establishment anymore. It's coming from people who don't know how to change the channel.
Yeah.
And they get offended, and instead of just changing the channel, they decide to stay on the channel and try to eliminate the channel, which is the most ridiculous thing. So, I mean, that right there is basically... The controversy is they're supporting the comedian's viewpoint. So as long as the opinion is agreeable to them,
right.
It's okay.
Right.
That's the problem across the board right there. That's cancel culture.
Yep.
If you don't agree with me, no, I don't have to agree with you. Matter of fact, I don't give a fuck what you think, because it's not about what you think. My opinion is about what I think. You're allowed to think what you think, but
right.
I'm not gonna bash you for it. I'm not gonna dismiss you for it. That's your opinion. And this whole thing, in my opinion, in my viewpoint,
right,
is here it is, a person literally saying that they don't understand, they don't comprehend the entire thing about transgender or a culture or something. Dave Chappelle is directly saying, look, I don't really get it. which is exactly where you start a conversation. But instead of them having a conversation with him, they want to slam the door and just get rid of it altogether. That's like when people were afraid to say the word cancer.
Yeah.
Remember how people were so afraid to say cancer? Cancer. They'd whisper it. Because like you're going to catch it if you say it out loud.
Right, right.
Like if you don't talk about it, it's not going to exist. That's the problem with just about everything we have going right now.
There is that. And there's so many things in that story. First off, the one that really pisses me off the most is that Jay-Z is not a rock star. He should not be in the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame. He is not a rock star.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not hating, yo. I love Jay-Z. But I do have a problem with hip-hop artists being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they're not... I love the Beastie Boys, right? They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I think Run-DMC is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
True. But can
and
I just
I'm
say,
a big fan of them.
I love them, too.
Yeah.
But just to back up Beasties, they were originally a punk band.
Yeah.
So they at least they play instruments. But Jay-Z, I love him. Come
Cookie
on.
Cookie Puss and right? all that back in the day.
Good stuff. I mean,
Beastie
you know,
Boys.
When they were on SNL back in the day, yeah, they played Sabotage and they played their own instruments. Yeah. People are like, what? And I go, yes, that's what they do.
They were turned into a rap group.
Yeah.
But, they were originally a punk band.
Punk band.
So it's like, yeah, I agree with that. But, yeah, well, if you want to see who all got in.
Oh, yeah.
It was filmed by HBO and will air starting November 20th.
Okay.
So you can see what other non-rock and roll.
I bet there's a lot.
I know. I was going to look up. I didn't have time to look up who all got inducted. Man. But, yeah, I think Taylor Swift inducted somebody as well.
Okay. Oh, God.
But, yeah, I was like, that's a cool story. But, you know, yeah, Jay-Z's not. He's not in the rocks.
I'd like to have a go at Taylor Swift one time.
Just once.
Just once.
Just once.
But I didn't have to embarrass myself. Just once. I bet she's a freak.
I got a feeling.
But, man, I'm just thinking about years from now when they start inducting Cardi B. That's how I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, man.
Like, you know, like 30 or 20 years from now, whatever it is. And you know she's going to make it. She's going to be in there. And once I hear that, I swear to God, if I don't have a gun, I'm going to borrow my neighbor.
You're not going to be around for that, man.
You're right. It's all going to be over. Well before then.
You're safe.
But to talk about the Chappelle thing, first off, am I for everything he says? I would pay $100 to watch him do an hour talking about nothing, because that's how much I love Dave Chappelle. But it's not just him. Right now, he's still in the hot seat. You're right. But the cancel culture, the fact of, I'm offended because of the overuse of the word offended. Offended really isn't even a word. You can be offended technically, but is it truly offense? Are you really offended? It's just, to me, an empty word. You could say, oh, I didn't like what you said. I'd rather have you say that than I'm a, because it's like anything nowadays. Offended is a catch word, because once someone hears it, they go, I am too.
Yeah, they have a definition of offended that isn't, it doesn't really fit what offended is.
Especially,
it's like, you're not offended, you just don't agree.
Or you don't like the story or the joke.
Yeah, I didn't really like that. You know? It's like, I'm offended. You know, offended, that's another extreme.
That's very extreme when you think about
it. Come on, man.
Right. It's like when you happen to say, you joke around, you go, I hate that person. You go, hate, that really is, that's a strong-ass word. But you were offended. You're so offended. You're offended?
Yeah.
You just didn't like it, or you didn't get it, or you just don't want to be a part of it. And I'd rather have you look at me in the eye and go, I thought what you said tonight sucked. I'd rather have you say that.
Yeah.
And we can maybe, talk about it.
Yeah.
It happened to me on radio sometimes. You know, you get callers sometimes, especially at night, and they're drunk or whatever. They're like, you suck, and they hang up on you. And I would even go on the air and go, hey, whoever did that, call me back. And once in a while, they would call back, and I go, did you tell me I sucked? I go, yeah. I go, now let me ask you, why? Just give me why. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they go, well, because you keep playing this song. I go, well, let me explain something to you. I'm not the one playing this song all the time. I'm told to do it. Oh, really? Yeah. And I explain to them some of the insides of things. And they're like, oh, okay, man. So do I still suck? No, man, you're cool. I'm like, well, I like you too, bro.
You're right.
Yeah, so at least you leave like friends.
Yeah.
But don't tell me, man, I'm offended. It's like, well, if I'm going to offend you then, if you're that easily offended, I should really step it up and say some shit I don't want to say. Because if you're going to say you're offended, I really want you to be offended.
Might as well make sure it counts.
Exactly. If you're going to try and here's what I love about being Pat Largo. I don't know about you, because you got a lot of clout around here. No one's going to cancel Pat Largo. You know why? Nobody knows who Pat Largo is.
That's it. We're safe.
I could say some jokes, and they might go, oh, that was pretty bad. But no one's going to go, you cancel that four-eyed motherfucker who just said, you're not. No one's going to say that, because but Dave Chappelle, yes. Bill Burr, yes.
Well, the thing is, what's beautiful, first of all, you're never going to cancel us.
That's
true,
too.
First of all, you got to subscribe.
That's right.
So, subscribe before you can cancel us.
And then you can unsubscribe.
Yeah, make it meaningful, first of all. Don't just say it.
Right.
Do something.
Right.
Make it realistic.
Make it hurt.
But I don't think Dave... Well, here's there's a handful of people that are just not going to get canceled ever. Mm-hmm. Dave Chappelle's one of them. Bill Burr, he's walking a thin line just because he's white. That's going to go against him.
It does, yeah.
That you know, that's going to take away some points. But here's a white guy who's not going to get canceled, Eminem. You're not going to cancel Eminem because you know why? That's what he thrives on.
Yeah.
Eminem, Dice Clay, they thrive on controversy. So it's like whatever you throw at him, perfect. That's going to be perfect for them because all you're doing is doing exactly what feeds their machine. Mm-hmm. So you're helping them. So it backfires on you like that. And that's the same with me. It's like, I don't really care. It's like, I don't have any clout to begin with. And my brand doesn't lend itself to canceling because I have to give a shit before I can be canceled. If I don't give a shit, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't, because you can say you're going to cancel. You can try to cancel. But at the end of the day, if you're the person canceling me, you're not the person I'm trying to reach. So it doesn't really fucking matter.
Right, and I agree. And to people, you know, again, right now listening, going, "Oh, these are now they're getting making my blood boil."
Yeah, it's like we're doing it.
Yeah, but we haven't even said shit yet. But these are the people who go, "I can't wait. Put these guys on the list now." And
well,
it's
listen,
like, you know, man, come
we're
on.
We're gonna follow the Dave Chappelle story because you know, obviously, for reasons that relate to what we do, and you know, just because it's an interesting point in society.
Yeah.
But we're going to move on.
Okay.
To next story.
Yes, sir.
They just came out with a list of four stand-up specials that showcase hard-working comics. And this is from the New York Times, okay? So let me just read you the little clip here, the little intro here. The stand-up specials that get the most attention tend to be made by celebrities. But as dedicated comedy fans know, our fans that are listening now, the funniest ones are much more likely to emerge from mid-career workhorses, like the artist who recently put out These New Hours. So they got four comics here, and you'll probably recognize most of them. Mm-hmm. One is Theo Von.
Beautiful.
With he has a new special on Netflix called Regular People. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that.
I
have not seen that, so I'll let you comment on that. Let me tell you who the second person is. Roy Wood Jr.
Yes.
Obviously, from Comedy Central's The Daily Show.
Uh-huh. Florida guy.
He's very funny.
Yep.
Ricky Velez, HBO Max. He's got a special called Here's Everything. And Jo Firestone. And she has a special on Peacock, and it's called Good Timing with Jo Firestone.
Wow.
So the for Theo Von... you may know him, he first burst onto the scene via MTV, the reality show Road Rules, and he's one of those guys, he started out on the reality shows, but after that, he was on the Road Rules and maybe another one after that, but he went to The Grind and started doing stand-up. Like, I remember him coming through, featuring, you know, he was just like everybody else, just like toughing it out, building his show, building materials. But I haven't seen that special. How was that?
Well, first off, you taught me. I didn't know he came from the from a reality
MTV,
show background.
Yeah,
I didn't
way
know
back,
that.
Yeah,
okay.
Way back.
That's
in the
cool. Because I think he's in his early 40s now, if I'm not mistaken.
He's got to be.
Great.
He's got to be somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Because he's been he did that in his 20s.
Sure.
And then he's been at it for a while now.
That's funny. It's going to show you. That's probably the last time I watched MTV. Probably that long ago. I mean,
yeah.
I haven't watched any of the MTVs. The special, I enjoyed it because it's Theo Von. I like his background. I like his story.
Yeah.
I like his style of how he d- delivers material.
Yeah, he's
jokes.
Got that little southern conversational. He's from Louisiana.
He's from Louisiana.
Yeah.
His dad was like close to 80 when he was born, 70 something or 80 when he was born, I swear to God. And he's not one of those guys, I don't think, that actually really puts it on when he's on stage, per se.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch his podcast and listen to him, he's got that southern accent. He does get a little southern ghetto sometimes because he's from that part of town.
Yeah, he'll speak a little of the slang, you know.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The words from...
It's fantastic.
They mentioned that in the article, too. They're like, you know, he comes up with his own wordings, which is perfect if you're a comedian. That sets you apart right away.
No doubt. And that's what gets me because I first saw him, and not one, first saw him, but one of the things I love was that Comedy Central show, This Is Not Happening, right? And Ari Shaffir was a host, and then Roy Wood took over. And Theo was on there one day talking for 20 minutes about how he kicked alcohol and cocaine. But I'm really not going to spoil it for you. So if you just go YouTube or check it out on streaming on Comedy Central. But he talks about his ride in a New York City cab while doing coke with the cab driver, and the whole time is he has to go on the Opie and Jim Norton show in New York at 6 a.m. He's out till like 4 in the morning, and who's the guest? I'm not going to spoil it. There's a certain guest that's on the show with him after Theo did a whole night's worth of cocaine. So if you go check out, I think it's called This Is Not Happening.
Yeah,
I believe it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's
on, just YouTube it.
You should be able to pull that up.
But I love the special, and it's in front of the huge crowd in the theater, and it's beautiful. And I like it because he is who he is. He gets a little slow sometimes, and sometimes, like at one point he goes, so what else is going on? Like he's so conversational, you go, uh-oh. But then he like starts blowing out more material and more jokes. And you're like, okay, he's got plenty.
He just catches up to his set list. Yeah.
And I just enjoy, that's what makes, I think, comedy so... it's so natural and simple because it's a microphone and people, and that's it, man. You all struggle or laugh together.
It's a perspective, so.
Yeah, but I like that new special.
I would definitely check out these specials. Roy Wood Jr., if you watch the Daily Show, you're familiar with him, so you might want to check that out. Ricky Velez, I have not seen, but he's apparently he's a Queens-born comic.
Okay.
So I would check him out. Let's see, here it says... at his best, Velez has the swagger of a con man on a hot streak. He's nervy, side-eyeing everyone. Velez talks about anxiety and insecurities rooted in a hard-scrabble childhood, but he doesn't wallow in it.
Okay.
So unlike you, he doesn't wallow.
No, I got problems. I wallow.
So check him out. And then Joe Firestone. Here, I'll just read a brief snippet from this. My favorite moment in this comic documentary about a group of senior citizens taking a comedy class is when we are dropped in the middle of a rambling digression from an older lady in a scarf saying she wished religion and gender were banned, then segues into the horror of the Holocaust, mm-hmm. a story about coal mines before the camera shifts to the comic Joe Firestone sitting across from her. So this is more, it sounds like kind of like a mockumentary type of thing or something.
Yeah.
Or like a really, really silly offbeat documentary.
That one, I don't know if that one's going to twist my pickle right there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So I that might be one to check out if you got Peacock, Joe Firestone. But we're going to move on.
I got Peacock.
We're trekking on. Yeah, we all do.
So we got, that's not bad, actually, yeah.
So this is the third one. This is just a real brief thing I wanted to mention just because it's very relevant. And this happened a few days ago. Mort Saul, a political satirist, a stand-up comedy pioneer, has died at 94. And this is a story by NPR. And just to give you a brief description, long before Jon Stewart or Bill Maher, there was Mort Saul. In the 1950s, while most comedians were telling jokes about in-laws, Saul was ribbing politicians. His stream of consciousness style was influenced by jazz, and his topical humor influenced generations of stand-up comedians. He was one of the pioneers from way back.
Yeah.
So it's like he set the tone for a lot of the guys you hear now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I just had to mention that. That's part of history, comedy history right there.
It is, and I wasn't too familiar until I read it and looked him up a little bit. I'm like, wow, okay, they're definitely one of the pioneers and legends.
Yeah.
And down the road, I hope to see how we can work out this, like, the rule or the law about how we can play clips, because I would love to play clips. And we'll get that, you know, this is only our first show. We'll get that under, like, figure out how we can do it legally.
we want to, once we get everything, as we get rolling along, we'll have everything ironed out, and we'll be able to bring you some clips as well, some audio and images that we'd like to share from these comics. So that's a good one. It's great. His fans included Lenny Bruce, George Carlin. Like, that's your fan base.
And think of it, that was a young Lenny, a young George Carlin.
Exactly.
But you can see probably how they shaped out, especially, of course, George. How he went on to do what he did, and how he transformed. That's amazing to have legends like that love you. So, but we got that going on.
Well, we're
going
to move on to the next story, which is speaking about influential people in comedy. There is a list that just came out, and this is from the Hollywood Reporter. The 40-ish most influential people in comedy in 2021. Now, so I'm gonna give you the top 10 off the list. There's a lot of familiar names on the list, but I just want to read what's for the first 10 from the list. And some of these you probably recognize, and a couple of them you won't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna read them off. Like, the first ones on the list were three people: Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky. They are the creators of Hacks. They were awarded the top prize for comedy writing at the 2021 Primetime Emmy Awards in September. Now, I'd never heard of them because they're writers, so
right.
We probably don't hear them that much. But yeah, so these guys have been very influential this year. Next on the list is Judd Apatow.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of that guy.
Writer.
Awkwafina.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Kenya Barris, who is also a writer and producer for Black-ish.
I was going to say, that sounds familiar, but I didn't know much about. Okay.
Yeah, this is like some of these I I'm not as familiar with, just because things are so fragmented now. Next, Dave Bird and Jeff Schaefer. They created Dave. You know, Little Dicky?
Yeah.
That's Dave. So they're influential.
Okay.
Here goes one. The Touring Titans, which include Bill Burr, Hassan, Minaj, John Mulaney, and Ali Wong.
Wow.
Next on the list is Bo Burnham.
Yep.
Then Dave Chappelle. Then Michaela Coel, who is, she was in Black Panther. She's a British actress.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's doing other things,
I guess.
And Larry David, mm-hmm. which is, we're all familiar with that. So my question is this. So this is for this year, these people were influential. Now, just off of those 10, now on the list there's more people. Will Ferrell, all these guys were on that list. But out of just those 10, some of these are influential beyond just 1 year.
Oh, sure.
Who comes to mind when you think about somebody really influential over decades in comedy?
Like stand-up or writer or?
Well, either or.
Okay.
Yeah, because this list is comprised of both executives. This is writers, directors, you know.
I mean, first, and not that it's the most important, but like the first thing that popped in my mind, the first person was Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks, yes.
I mean, just that's the first thing that popped into my mind, because, you know, him and Carl Reiner, you know, I know Carl passed recently, and they were just best friends.
By the way,
you know,
Mel Brooks is slated to do History of the World Part 2.
Finally.
Is that crazy?
This is great. I saw that on TV, and they said, well, basically, since the whole original cast is dead now, and he's still alive, God bless him.
Yeah.
That they're going to get a whole new cast, I guess, is funny people. And if you haven't seen History of the World Part 1, please, for the love of God, just look it up. Watch it, download it, buy it.
I worked with someone that was in that movie.
Really?
George, what's his face? Jackie Mason.
That's right.
Jackie Mason was in there.
That's right.
He was hanging on the wall. He was like,
oh, and Jackie passed too, didn't he?
He passed away this past year.
So. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's crazy. God, what a movie, man. And I was so dumb. Me and my best friend, Eric Myers, when we first got that movie, and I had said, History of the World Part 1, I go, is there a one before this, or is there going to be one after this? And that was like, what, the early 80s? And I had no idea. And finally, in 2021, he said, yeah, we're going to do a new one now. This blows me away. I'm so happy to see that.
Yeah, that was so
cool. But, no, I think of a Mel Brooks. I think of those old school people, like, you know, a Dick Van Dyke, people like that.
Milton Berle.
Of course, sure.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about, like, in terms of having influence on comedy, like, over time, I always go back to the older ones.
Sure.
Because they're the ones that set the foundation, even when the styles were changing. Mm-hmm. You know, like when Milton Berle came, he was known as Mr. Television, you know, because he was one of the first people on TV, and he had the show going on forever. But guys like that, Jackie Mason is another early guy. Mort Saul,
yeah,
one of those
course.
Guys. You know, you got Richard Pryor.
Red Fox.
They opened up a whole lane with their stuff, you know. Guys like that.
Say Dick Gregory.
Dick Gregory.
Right? I mean, you know, yeah. But I mean, yeah, dead or alive. Yeah, you're right. I go back to Abbott and Costello,
yeah.
I mean, I got to tell you, I'm a Three Stooges fan. Yeah. Per se, because when I do catch it on TV, I just happen to see them on TV, I will stop and watch.
Yeah.
And I just, if you're not laughing.
Yeah, it's a slapstick.
They're literally slapping the shit out of each other. Yeah. And if you don't just find that funny in general, or just the dialogue and the quickness and the timing of what they're doing, if you don't like that, I mean, just watch it again and just really enjoy it. I promise you, you'll see the genius in it.
Well, look, if you watch America's Funniest Videos and you think that's funny.
Right.
Then you have to find the Three Stooges funny.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way around it. If you find that funny, then you got to find these guys are beating the shit out of each other for your pleasure.
That's right.
For you to.
And it almost doesn't even. I know. It almost doesn't even look staged, or like it's actually acting. They're just literally doing this.
Taking
it's,
out frustration.
Dude, it's the way that it's so fluid. It's like a dance move. Yeah. It's so good. So you're right, though. There's all kinds of, but as writers, though, I'm not too familiar with just writers off the top of my head, like for the shows back in the day.
Yeah.
Or like Norman Lear.
Norman Lear, yeah, huge.
You know, right?
Yeah, huge in that. Yeah, yeah. Another one that was actually on the list, which she's been influential for years, was Tina Fey.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because she was the head writer for SNL for a long time. Then she went on to her own show with 30 Rock, which she dominated and is still doing great in reruns, you know. Then what was the other one she did? I can't remember name of it. It's at the tip of
another
my tongue.
Another show she did?
Yeah, she did another one. She wrote on it. She was the producer and writer, but she wasn't on it. Something Kimmel I can't think of it. We'll let it go.
Write in and tell us.
Yeah. All right. So here's the last story that I want to hit before we move on. Now, this is a survey that was done by the Hollywood Reporter. And this is the Best of Hollywood Reporter's 2021 Comedy Survey. And it did it with a bunch of different comics, including Kevin Hart, Judd Apatow, Kirsten Wiggs, all these guys. So what I want to, and they reveal like different things about themselves. So I just want to ask you like five of the questions and then just have you answer.
All right.
Tell me what your answer would be. And I have the full questionnaire. And a matter of fact, we'll have the links to all of these articles in the description. And you can check this out yourself and take the questionnaire along with the celebrities. All right, first question. When's the last time that you bombed?
Oh, like a full-on bomb.
When did you bomb? The last time I bombed.
Ooh. I can't recall the year, but I know it was just like not recently, thank God.
Yeah.
Like a full on, like I did 30 minutes or something like that, or even like it was 20 minutes, or whatever. And I'm like, oh, this is not going well.
Yeah.
But it was, I can't recall the year, but I can recall still how sick I felt.
Nice.
So I can't recall. It was like, yeah, not. That's one of the worst.
I've had
moments.
I've had some bombs.
Yeah. I mean, not like I said, thank God, not the last few years. A couple of minutes where you might be like going, okay, let's take us in a different direction.
Yeah,
like, okay,
yeah.
Now we did it, you know, but not like the full on where
a
you're
full
like,
show, you're like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is it. This
you're 15 or 20 in going, yeah. I don't think they left
you're
once.
Like, this is not going to
right.
be a long, another long 15 minutes here.
I have no problem at that point just putting the mic back in the stand and going, you guys have a great night.
Good night.
Just walk off.
All right, next question. My most memorable fan interaction was?
Oh, dear. Let's see here. Most memorable fan interaction was, things always throw me. Like, I have these moments, and I forget exactly where they were. I think someone tipping me a few years ago was kind of fun. I never had been tipped.
Oh, cool.
That was kind of cool.
Nice.
But mostly just people, and just nice people just going, that was so funny. You were so funny. Or that just made me, and thank you so much, that kind of thing. So that was like really, I'm sure there was more interesting ones.
Yeah.
But just to hear someone take time after the show to go, that was you guys or the show, you were amazing. That is like my most, that's the best
that's
interaction,
cool, yeah.
I think. You know.
Yeah, I've had some pretty cool ones.
Yeah? I mean, especially hanging out with some of the big comics and stuff you're hanging out and working with.
Yeah. We did freaky shit.
Doing banging people after the show.
It's third question.
Sorry.
It's perfectly fine to make jokes about.
Oh, anything.
Anything. That's the correct answer.
Anything. If you don't, folks, let me tell you, I'm not going to go on a tangent, but if you're a comedian, you know what we're talking about. If you are a fan of comedy, I think you know what we're talking about. If you're a fan of cancel culture, I think you know what we're talking about. Anything. And now that doesn't mean go out and try it.
Yeah.
However, you can literally, that's what words are. You
well,
can literally
thing,
joke
yeah.
about anything.
Yeah, I think the difference is that when you say that, people's interpretation is that it's going to be over the top or it's going to be meant to be offensive or shocking. But the fact is that if most comics, when they say things, they're not really trying to be shocking. They're just telling you from their perspective, which to you might sound shocking.
Right.
But that's, yeah, I mean, you can speak about anything as long as you have an angle and you find it, you're trying to make it funny. You know, it's like if your perspective is there's humor in it and that's what you're trying to do, then yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't talk about anything, you know. There's no, I don't have any rules for that.
No,
so.
I would never censor, except I did a show recently on 9/11.
Yeah.
And the venue said, I just have one request from your comics that they don't do any 9/11 jokes. And I said, no, I get that. And then she said, I'm going to have you come on, because I was hosting it. She goes, I would like to have you come on at the end and just say some stuff. And I was emceeing a gig, not comedy, but a different gig earlier that day, starting out the show with the moment of silence and just a few words. So it still gives me goosebumps. And that worked out crazy well because I'm talking in the mic and these people are walking all over this place at this event. And I said, if we could please stop and take our hats off. And everyone stops like in their tracks and takes their hat off. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like how emotional. And just a few words and then we got back into it. So I told the comics, I said, one request. I said, you know me, I don't censor anybody, but this comes from the owner of the club. Please no 9/11 jokes. And one comic did say, I had a joke about Mark Wahlberg and something about the plane. I said, nah, I'm going to just go ahead and just veto that now and say no.
Leave that.
Yeah, let's not do that. Because otherwise, I'm like, you know what? If it's not 9/11 and you have a funny joke somehow about, if you have a killer joke about it, I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be the one to say, don't do that.
Exactly.
But on that particular day, and it comes from the owner, I'm like, let's not
do it.
You
kind of got to use your your best judgment, you know, because it's like sometimes, it's even though you have something you think is funny or what have you, it's what makes comedy funny and impactful is timing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can say anything, but if it's not the right timing, including the right time, then it's not going to go over, and you've wasted that moment. You've wasted that material because it's like it didn't work. You knew it wasn't going to work, but you chanced it. So, I mean, that's up to the individual artist, but, you know, part of it is timing. It's like, okay, this isn't going to, you know, this isn't the time and place for this particular one because they're not going to appreciate it, you know. And another situation, you know, okay, these guys, everybody's in the same zone. They're going to appreciate that better. So
it's a rough one, like you said, with I remember Gilbert Gottfried doing that right after 9/11 and making a joke about something about catching a plane or something like that. And that was like within a week or two, I think, after 9/11. But he did it. And people laughed. And then Ari Shaffir did that. Ari Shaffir, right after the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash.
He said something
pretty... And again, like you said, even though it was so right after... You know how it is. If someone said it and it was funny, though, you'd be like, I got to tell you, that was funny. But he said something just basically like, you know.
It's literally too soon.
Like it should have happened soon or something like that. He had something, and he just kind of, I guess, hid after all. He just kind of went, even Bert Kreischer and those guys were talking about it. Like, we don't know where he is. He just kind of like hid.
He took off, yeah.
So I guess people were really upset about that. But but you're right, though. That's the correct answer, in my opinion. Like, you could joke about anything.
Final question. This should take us to our next segment. If I could bring one comedian back from the dead, who would it be?
Man, one comedian.
Oh, that's a good one right there.
Back from the dead, who would it be?
From the dead.
Got to be Hitler.
Hitler, he's a funny guy. This guy's pretty funny. He had this move he used to do.
He invented a move.
He had a move.
Man, that's a great, great query. What comedian to bring back from the dead? I would, I'd say Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald, oh, wow.
That's just mine. Yeah.
That's a good call.
I mean, if I just had one, there's so many, but I just, Norm, that kind of got to me. I didn't think that was coming. And that made me go, what?
Because he kept it quiet.
Very quiet.
Well, I'm gonna go with Seinfeld. Seinfeld. I'd like to see him come back.
Come back from the... That guy's so rich. He's so actually he's wealthy. He's not even rich. He's wealthy.
Yeah, he's beyond that.
I mean, dude, man. You know, it's just some people. God bless. I mean, I'm not hating. I'm like, go do it. Yeah, but damn, he's got money. Larry David, what is he? He works like every couple of years. He does the show. We'll do it again this year. Let's take a break till 2025. It's like that's
so loaded.
How do they do that? That's what I would beg Norm MacDonald somehow if he can come back from the dead. That would be best.
Well, this takes us to our next segment.
The interview.
What we did this past weekend, Halloween, we attended the Haunted Hollywood show. Mm-hmm. And this was the show where organized by Ginger Kelly, and comics would come in. There's like three rounds of this, and that's in the video as well. We took the camera, we did a little video behind the scenes of the show, so we're going to play that for you guys. But comics dressed up and performed as comics that have passed away.
Yeah.
Like we had Paul Mooney, we had Rodney Dangerfield, Phyllis Diller,
George Carlin.
Yeah, so there's a slew of performers. So, and we talked to a couple of these guys. I snuck aside, went to the sound booth, and sat with Sloan for a few minutes in there and talked a little bit. But you've been a judge for all three shows. I came in and got to judge this final one. How was it? How was it throughout the course of the competition?
Better than I thought. This happened at Snapper's Grill and Comedy Club in Palm Harbor, Florida. Great local place. Nabil Shaker and the gang over there, great job running that comedy club and great food and everything. So Ginger had this idea, like you said, of a comics dressed up as dead comics, do 5 minutes specifically of their that particular comics material.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You really wasn't supposed to veer off to your own, but as long as it was funny. First round, she says, hey, can you judge? I said, okay, I'll do it. and it was a couple other people, and Bob Burr, another local great comic magician. And I said, I don't know how I feel about this. This is not going to be, I don't know. And I tell you, after the first week, I'm like, okay, this is better than I thought. This is good. Second week, she goes, can you come back in 2 weeks? I go, okay, I'll come back in 2 weeks. That one, way better than the first one. I mean, people totally going out dressed to the nines, acting like the actual comics. Amazing. So then once we got to the finale, I'm thinking, God, I hope Ginger asks me again, because now I'm so invested in this.
See this thing through.
It was amazing. She goes, you want to judge the finale on Halloween night? I go, yeah, of course I do. This is great. And you were a judge and a Neary attorney, Bob Burr.
Now, wait, now let's not forget that not only were the comics dressed up, but Pat Largo was dressed up too. Pat Largo, and let me tell you something. If you're ever out of work again, I think you have an in. He was the most lovely Hooters girl. Didn't have very big Hooters.
No
Hooters at all.
I was transitioning.
You were transitioning.
That's an inside thing, because I did radio for a few months in Iowa, and this is an Iowa Hooters, an old-school, mid-90s Iowa Hooters outfit, and I swear to God, I don't know where I got it. I don't know where I got it from. There was a Hooters there.
Well, it fit.
That's another thing.
That's another thing.
It just goes to show you, my shape has not changed in 25 years.
You're like Prince.
Thank you. I still felt and had a little more alive. I felt, I just slipped those orange things on. I put the little white tank top on, more than a mouthful or whatever that was, more than a mouthful, it felt good. So I did that, and the bill goes, Jesus, I saw you put it on Facebook. I think you're going to wear that here. And I go, So we'll have pictures, if not already, we'll have pictures probably of that. I'm sure someone took a picture of me.
Well, if you're watching, we're going to cut to the video here in just a moment. If you're watching, you'll enjoy everything. If you're listening, like the first 3 minutes is in the showroom, a little bit more of the ambiance. We're talking in there, so there's a lot of noise. You're not really aware of what's going on. At about 3.5 minutes in, though, I have conversations with the comics. Talk to Sloan. I talked to a Neary attorney who is an actress, comedian. You may have already seen her in some things on Netflix and so forth.
Yeah.
And I talked to Ginger Kelly about the show and her upcoming benefit show as well. So. Do you want to throw it to the video?
Yeah, take a look at this. Hope you enjoy it.
Hey, there's no HR here.
Well, we're here at Snappers. That's Pat Largo. Pat Largo ready for his big debut.
Oh, okay. Let me squeeze
here. This is the judges' table right here. Bob Burr. And myself.
The lovely
Tony Dodd, and we are judging the Haunted, Haunted Hollywood.
Haunted Hollywood.
This is the finals.
Yeah.
Haunted Hollywood comedy show, the finals here at Snappers. It's a full room. We're checking out the cards, eating some of the Mimi's.
Mini donuts.
Mini donuts Pat Largo brought.
Yeah.
Because he's addicted.
I hope we hurry up, because I have to get my shift in later.
He's working late tonight.
He's working late tonight. What do you work? 2 to 4?
We'll check in later.
Very specified. Very specific. Can you get him?
This is happening. Can you hear it?
You want me to read it?
Really happening.
I thought about it.
Well, that is it. They're just finished announcing the winner. Let's see what that is.
Is there Bob Burr in the house?
Yes.
Where is he? Bob Burr?
Yeah.
Bob Burr?
What are we doing? Here a minute, please.
What?
Bob Burr. Can you come here a minute, please?
We're calling Bob up to the stage.
Great.
This is suspenseful.
This is the greatest time of my life.
What's going on? I'm gonna videotape this.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
This is gonna make world world star.
This is Bob Burr, that's my friend. A long, long time ago, I started this journey with him and helped him out in so many different ways to do a lot of things. I learned a lot from him. Real quick, 2 years ago, he came to me with this idea.
We got to judge from the first week to now. This is amazing.
Did you judge the whole time?
Yes, the very first one. And the
so you're a professional judge.
Go do that.
Yeah, quit holding her up.
I'm not going to put it on my resume, but I mean, I think I could judge. Some people say don't judge. I'm like, I do, actually, I can do it.
I'm good at judging.
I'm really good at judging, you know? So this is great. Everything worked out.
Oh, I got a light on you, man.
Thank you again, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
But what I said is actually true story.
I know.
Everybody knows it, Bob. Everybody. Everybody. It does. Because, you know, we go back a long years, and he's still number one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tony, I said hello to him outside.
I know.
Tony was in our stage, actually.
I know. Yeah. We can't wait to get you guys on our upcoming...
Yeah, we got to get you on our podcast.
I'm ready.
How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm doing good, man. Just living life, you know?
Yeah, we had to sneak in the sound booth here to do a quick interview. We just finished.
Right.
Finished doing a show, Haunted Hollywood, over here at Snapper's Grill Comedy Club. And you were doing Paul Mooney?
Yes.
Dude, that was awesome.
And the thing about it is, I got the chance to work with him, his only Tampa appearance at the Tampa Improv, probably about 13, 14 years ago. And it was an experience. It was my dad's favorite comic because he wrote for Pryor, and my dad was actually able to come down and see him that whole week. Todd Linebach was there, and it was a great experience. I'll never forget it. The guy, I spent like 3 days with him, all day taking him around. So it was an experience, man.
So you were like familiar with Mooney for real.
Yeah.
But not only Mooney, like you've worked with several legends.
Yeah.
You worked also with friggin' John Witherspoon.
Pops, for all of 14, 15 years, he's been coming to the Improv. I probably worked with him about 11 of all of them, picking him up and spending time with him, worked with him a couple of dates out of town. And just been fortunate enough, man. Tommy Davidson know real well. My dad used to cut his hair. Yeah. So, and that's led me to be here in Snappers here. In a booth off 19 in Palm Harbor.
All the streaming.
Yeah, streaming. A lot of streaming platforms are out there, so it's a lot of opportunities for everybody. So I was fortunate enough to get a couple of credits to go ahead and try and take it to the next level. But if I don't, I'm enjoying the ride like always, brother.
We're gonna get you in and talk about everything because you go beyond the comedy with your art. And we got to talk about some of your artwork, man. That's some freaking amazing work.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I mean, people really need to see. This is like some serious shit, man. This is like serious work. It's like, you know, it's like you're not dabbling in it.
Right, right.
Hanging out with Aneria. So how did you enjoy the Haunted Hollywood show?
Oh, my God. It was fantastic. Ginger Kelly put the show together. And I swear to you, basically the show was... The comedians had to dress up like dead comedians and either do their material or do their own material as that comic. And I'm going to tell you that there were times where I forgot that it was a local comic up there. I saw Paul Mooney. I saw Tony Stark or Clifton. Sorry, wrong Tony. I saw Phyllis Diller. It was an amazing show. And I hope that there's more like this next year.
All right, I'm hanging with Ginger. Ginger Kelly, tell me about tonight's show. It was awesome. It was an awesome time.
Oh my God, thank you so much. Tonight was fantastic. We've been working on it for so long. There were two rounds prior to tonight, so it ended up being 10 comedians that advanced to tonight, and they got to perform as comedians that are no longer with us. They dressed in costume to do it, and they really just did a great, a tribute to those that have passed, and it was fantastic, and I can't wait to do it again.
Well, Well, it was a great timing for Halloween, too.
Yeah, it worked out great. It worked out great. But, you know, we can do it any time of year. If they can do Christmas in July, we can do hauntings in April.
Yeah, they're still dead.
That's right. That's right. And there's probably going to be more with them to choose from or something.
Looking forward to who dies this year.
Yeah. Wait, I hope so-and-so dies so that I can be them, right? That's horrible.
So now this is not the only show you're doing. Tell me about you have a benefit coming up?
Yeah, November 11th here at Snappers. It's a 7:30 show. It's a breast cancer awareness. So Snappers loves the Tatas. So I'm a breast cancer survivor. And I came to Snappers and I told them that I wanted to do this benefit. So we reached out to the Florida Cancer Specialist. We've partnered with them. All of the comedians that are participating are donating their time to this great cause. So we're hoping to pack this house and raise some money to save the Tatas. So that's November 11th. You can go onto the Snappers website and get your tickets for that. And that's the next thing we've got going on.
All right. We will see you there. Thanks a lot, Ginger.
Thank you. Bye.
And there you go. And that's what we do. We do more of that, too, right now, just video interviews of some great local comics and comics that are visiting all around the country. But that was, again, Ginger Kelly, an area attorney, and William Sloan, goes by Sloan here in the Tampa Bay area. And all three of those folks have great stories about working with other great comics.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a beautiful business.
Yeah, we'll get them in studio at some point, sit down, have a little longer conversation with them. But by the way, if you were watching... what other outfits would you like to see Pat Largo in?
Oh, nice.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, no, let me, I'm about ready to trim up my arm hair and leg hair, so you let me know. We can go anything. We can go couture, whatever that means. We can go...
You don't even know what it means.
We could go whatever, but no, I appreciate, yeah, I mean, we'll you know, whoop it up once in a while, you know, especially if we go town to town sometime down the road. I'll be coming in pimping.
Nice.
Whatever you want me to wear, man. So we'll have some fun doing that, though. Come on, you live once. Have a good time.
Well, I think it's time for one of your favorite segments. We're bringing a special edition to the show. And as a matter of fact, you can look for this again on Fridays on our YouTube page, our YouTube channel, Comedians Uncorked. We might even do an extended list. Well, we're going to be breaking these down at some point pretty soon by region, so we're going to cover the country. But right now, what do you got, Pat? Where are they at?
Where are they at, man? This is what we do right here, basically tell you where all the great comics are coming to you in and around not only our Tampa Bay area and Florida, but right now the southeastern part of the United States of America. We're going to be starting off with Mr. Paul Farvar at the aforementioned Snappers Grill and Comedy Club in Palm Harbor, Florida, featuring his Dylan Vatilana, two shows. It's going to be Friday and Saturday. This is a great one. I love Kathleen Madigan.
Kathleen Madigan.
I love her.
I'm
really do.
For her.
I know, right?
I actually opened for her at the Stardome.
Yes.
In Birmingham.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
How I've never met her in person. Awesome. How is she? Awesome,
she's
right?
She's cool, yeah. She's just so laid back. So cool.
That's what she says on stage. Yeah. She's just so laid back, man.
Just saying, yeah.
She's going to be here in Florida, and I also know the southeast part of the country with her Do You Have Ranch tour. She's going to be at the Hard Rock Live in Orlando,
awesome.
Which used to be the second largest in the world. I don't know if it still is. But the Hard Rock Live in Orlando coming up on November 5th. And also Sunday, November 7th at the Capitol Theater right here in Clearwater, Florida. Carlos Mencia is at Your Tampa Improv. This is going to be Friday, the 5th. One show on Friday, two shows on Saturday. And keep you looking over your shoulder. Make sure Joe Rogan doesn't come over to kick your ass.
Well, just make sure.
Remember
listen,
that?
Make sure you're well rested.
Yeah.
Just because sometimes he goes long.
Oh, that's right. He does. You're
and
right.
By that, I mean he goes all night.
Right, right.
But yeah, so it could be a long show. But
that's
yes.
funny. He's a hard worker, man.
Yeah, he grinds it.
Alonzo Bowden is at Side Splitters in Carrollwood, Northdale Mabry, November 4th through the 7th. Another great guy.
Yeah.
Carmen Ciricillo Sarasota guy is going to be at Beautiful Coconuts Comedy Club on St. Pete Beach.
The construction comic.
He is. He's a great guy. He's an Italian guy. He gets that kind of New York kind of like start talking about this, and it's just a whole lesson on construction and
carries
comedy.
A wrench.
He does. He's got tools, and if you look at him, you go, he's a construction guy.
That guy can build a house.
Exactly. Very, very talented. Rob Schneider from SNL and all the great movies. He's going to be at McCurdy's Comedy Club also November 4th through 7th, so get your tickets soon for that. Jess Hilarious is at the Orlando Improv. Big shouts to the Orlando comedy scene as well, by the way. Ken Miller and Mike Herlihy and Kevin White and all the great guys. Carmen Vallone. James Yon. Yes, worked with him finally for the first time a couple of weeks ago in Ruskin, Florida. So she's going to be there at the Orlando Improv.
Cool.
Also, the Big Atlanta Comedy Show. It's called the Big Atlanta Comedy Show at Monticello. It's laugh and hip hop. That's going to be this weekend. The Plastic Cup Boys at the Miami Improv.
I've never seen.
I know it's a special engagement. I believe it's just a one-nighter that they're doing. So, but
sounds like a college type of show.
Yeah, I think it was like the Red Solo Cups. I don't know if it's
It's got to be Plastic Cups.
Right. So the Plastic Cup Boys are there. Comic hypnotist Flip Orley is at the West Palm Beach Improv this weekend. Back to Atlanta, some big names coming to see you. November 5th, Whitney Cummings.
All right.
Is at the Center Stage Theater. I never knew how screwed up she was mentally until I saw her podcast, and she would talk about just her mental state.
Wow.
I never knew.
I mean, either.
But she's so gorgeous, but that just kind of hides everything. But her upbringing.
That's what happens with me. Can't tell.
Because
I'm gorgeous.
I can tell. Sarah, November 6th, Taylor Tomlinson, another one of my favorites. This chick, if you haven't seen her, she's in her 20s. She's still so young, and she's one of the funniest people in the country. And she's also going to be at the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta. Bill Maher is performing the same night at the Fabulous Fox Theater. And then moving on to, Chuckles Comedy House this weekend. This is in Mississippi.
Corey Holcomb. I like him.
He's funny. Funny
dude.
Let
me tell you something, man. I worked with Corey Holcomb way back, man.
Really?
Where he was just grinding on the road.
Yeah.
As a road dog headliner. I was grinding on the road, featuring, and I was opening for him in some places on the road. And I mean, that guy, from day one, that guy was just, first time I saw him, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Every time I've seen him since, just hilarious. He's so on point with his brand. Yeah, that's a fun show. It's like, it's almost like an anti-date show.
Yes.
It's like, because it's like, it's so funny because he talks about relationships and is so fucked up. it's just like you have to appreciate it, man. It's all truth. It's all truth.
And I haven't seen him for years on TV. I recall him standing at the mic with like a little snifter of something, like a brandy or something.
Yeah,
he would just sip. Right.
Yeah.
And same thing. He would just basically talk like this, real, just matter of fact. Hey, man, that's your girl.
Yeah.
And just go into launch. You're right. Just
real
so
laid
funny.
Back.
Yeah.
So cocky. It's hilarious, though. He's funny.
Well, good. Well, you guys at Chuckles Comedy House will be able to see him this weekend in Mississippi. And then, finally, Corey Alexander is at the Carolina Comedy Club in Myrtle Beach. And I say that because their new GM, Leslie Ann Blackman, she also makes the food there at the Carolina Comedy Club. If you look her up on Facebook, Leslie Ann Blackman, and she puts the food that she makes there, I want to marry this woman. She's single, by the way, and she jokes about that. She is a GM of a comedy club, and the food she makes, if you don't put a ring on that finger, there's something wrong with you. The stuff that she makes is down-home Southern stuff, and it looks amazing. So big shout out to Leslie and Carolina Comedy Club, and you'll be enjoying the funny Corey Alexander this coming weekend. And that right there is where they at. Oh, hang on, couple quick ones.
Oh, okay.
John Mulaney at the Mahalia Jackson Theater for the Performing Arts, two shows this weekend, and that's in New Orleans.
Cool.
And then Ricky Smiley is also at the Senger Theater in New Orleans. So some more big names right there.
Nice.
So that's going to be our Where They At right now. We'll do it again next week.
Yeah, check out those shows this weekend. And I think that is it. I think we've covered everything. So what we need to do is wrap it up.
We're going to wrap it up right here. We're going to say one more time thank you to our sponsor, Century 21's Julie Drolshagen. Thank you so much. If in and around the area you want to get hooked up with some real estate and some houses or whatever your game is, just contact her at 727-902-9233. FloridaBeachBusiness.com is her website. Once again, 727-902-9233. Tony, it was a pleasure, man.
Well, listen, I just want to say if you want to be heard on the show, you can leave us a voicemail, and we might play it on the show. You can leave us a voicemail on, I believe, Spotify and on Anchor. And make sure that you subscribe to the show at Comedians Uncorked. You can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Pocket Cast, CastBox. And if you want to watch us, you can check us out on YouTube at Comedians Uncorked. And follow us on social media at on Facebook and Instagram at Comedians Uncorked. And visit us on the website, comediansuncorked.com.
Wow.
I'll put all the links in the description so everybody could check that out and follow the stories if they want to read the stories.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, I think so. So,
you know.
And we'll announce next week's guest. We're going to have an in-studio guest. We'll announce that on our social media pages, so go follow those pages and keep notified. Keep up to date.
Let us know on the cup. You hear us say the cup. That's an acronym for Comedians Uncorked Podcast. So you can call the cup, email the cup, hang out with the cup. So we got that going on.
We just got the light.
We got the light. We got to go. Oh, my God. Listen, guys, if you're gigging, you're winning, have a good one. Laugh. You deserve it. And thank you for Tony God. I'm Pat Largo, and thanks for watching and listening to the very first Comedians Uncorked podcast.